This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. A young man from Boston of imprecise religious feeling has studied Hebrew and hopes to apply his scholarly skills to translate great works of literature. But he winds up working in a warehouse in western Massachusetts, schlepping, picking up old books owned by old people, written in Yiddish, and delivering those books to a Jewish library so that the stories do not disappear. In one of those volumes, he learns the story of Itzhak Malpesh, a Russian immigrant in his 90s who is the last Yiddish poet in America. That's the plot of a new novel by Peter Manzo, the author of a highly acclaimed memoir called Vows. It's his first novel, Songs for the Butcher's Daughter. Peter Manzo joins us in our studios. Thanks so much for being with us.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
And how does a nice Gentile boy like you write a book like this?
A bit like one of my characters, I ended up quite by accident working for a Jewish cultural organization a few years ago. I had done some work with religious languages, with Greek and with Hebrew, and I stumbled into the Yiddish language, a language which I had no cultural, religious, or ethnic affiliation with. And through the process of learning that language, I learned about the great literature written in Yiddish, and I fell in love with it. Mm.
You have a section that I want to get you to read, which is just one of the best descriptions I have ever heard about the nature of a library, if you wouldn't mind.
Yes, in the Yiddish book warehouse in western Massachusetts. As July turned to August, the heat inside the warehouse caused the books to sizzle on their shelves. Filled with nearly a century of moisture and the oils of readers' fingers, they hissed in the arid air, yielding up the scent of warm paper. Just looking at the maze of books, such a fire hazard, all that potential energy, I had soaked through my T-shirt by noon. So I sat and I read. 3 days each week, alone among the bookshelves, with boxes piling up at least as high as they'd been in June, instead of sorting through them, I'd position myself by the largest of the metal fans and work my way through page after page. I did so haltingly, with a Yiddish-English dictionary by my side, from the moment I arrived until it was time to go home.
And in so doing, that's when he catches up, that's when he first notices the story of Itzhak Malpesh. Itzhak, your narrator discovers, was born during an act of violence.
Yes, born during a pogrom. And throughout his whole life, he lives with the story he's heard from his parents that a neighbor girl, the butcher's daughter of his title, has saved his family somehow, miraculously. She was just 4 or 5 years old as this happened. And he never meets her. She leaves the town in which he was born, and he spends his entire life trying to find this woman, this who was a young girl who somehow overcame this violence.
Malpesh says that he says the translation's an act of intimacy.
Yes, for me, who has dabbled in many languages but has real fluency with none, I'm always aware that the books I love best are the books that have been translated, and the awareness that works created in another language could be so meaningful to me, so transformative to me. It does seem a kind of intimacy. That these authors who I couldn't have spoken to had I met them in life, that they can be inside my head, the most intimate space.
I wonder if you see a relationship between immigrants' stories and religious parables.
But I am drawn to both stories of religion and stories of immigration because, to me, they are stories of self-conscious self-transformation. They are stories in which the people involved in them know they are becoming something different, something new. And they hope through religious transformation or through the act of immigration to leave whatever they were behind and become something that they would not recognize themselves. To me, that's the stuff of great drama. And what makes it most interesting to me is that most of the drama happens on the inside. Mm-hmm. Even as you go through the act of getting on the ship and coming to a new world, the person you're becoming, the new person you're becoming, is what arises from within.
Sasha, the young woman, the butcher's daughter, has her own extraordinary life story, which is sketched out in this book.
She does. As I said, she is, as Itzhak understands it, she's responsible for his survival in the Kishinev pogrom of 1903. She leaves Kishinev with her mother after having lost her father in the violence and takes the road not traveled, goes the other path that Itzhak does not take. She ends up first in Odessa and then eventually in what was then Palestine, and lives through the birth of a new kind of Jewish existence, the Israeli Jewish existence. And she likewise eventually ends up back in in New York for the first time, and finally feels pulled away for reasons I will leave to the telling of the tale. But I wanted her story to be mostly off the page because for me she was the ghost that hangs over the novel. She is both Itzik's muse and his love. In Yiddish, they have the term beshert, destiny. Itzik believes that Sasha is his destined one, made for him by God. And yet, for her, she is troubled by this idea of destiny, because if we truly have people who we are destined to meet, does it mean we have any free choice at all? So she spends her life striving against what she knows or fears to be her destiny.
I'm struck by something that Itzik Malper says in the book. He says, to be the greatest, one only needs to be the last.
Those who were left to be the last bear the burden of collective memory, of having to be the ones who tell the story, who keep them safe, just through the act of telling the story. And so the poet I've created, Itzik Malpish, he's not a good poet. And I wanted that to be the case, because many of the Yiddish poets who I most admire for their life story, in fact, weren't very good poets. Mm-hmm. They were immigrants with very particular religious educations who had no experience writing modern poetry.
They were also working at dinner.
Sure, yeah, many of them were part of the group that liked to call themselves the sweatshop poets, because mm-hmm. they came to New York, they worked in the garment industry, they worked 16-hour days, and somehow when they went home, they spent 4 hours writing poetry. I'm just fascinated by that. Whether or not they were good poets is really beside the point to me. And so I just find such heroism in that. There's a figure in Yiddish literature who comes up again and again, who's he's called basically the little man, Das Kleine Menschele in Yiddish. And to me, he's not a sad sack. He's a hero. And that's the story I wanted to tell with this book.
You worked a job once where you began to write poetry on paper bags, didn't you?
As many writers do, I've worked many odd jobs in my life, and I was a not a particularly good carpenter for a while. I worked in a house building crew in Massachusetts, and I just not long before I had happened to learn about these sweatshop poets. Mm-hmm. And so on one of my lunch breaks, I sat down on a rock in the cold, and as I was eating my sandwich, I began to write a scene on my paper bag that was, in fact, of a Yiddish poet writing a poem while he was on his lunch break 80 years before. And to me, what really stayed with me and what made me continue to write this story of a Yiddish poet was the fact that I could feel such fellow feeling with these men and women who lived lives totally removed from mine culturally, linguistically, religiously. And yet I did have this fellow feeling with them. I felt that we were having similar experiences. And that, to me, is what is wonderful about literature.
Peter Manso, he studies religion and teaches writing at Georgetown University. And his new novel is Songs for the Butcher's Daughter. Mr. Manso, thanks so much.
Thanks so much for having me.